I would like to actually, before I begin my short presentation, is I want to dedicate this presentation to an incredible woman named Helen Thomas, who should have been here and would have been here. Yeah, give her, a great, courageous person. I am going to begin briefly reading a couple of paragraphs from an article I wrote in 1992 for City Lights Review, the City Lights bookstore in San Francisco. It was called Occupied Territory, Congress, the Israel Lobby, and Jewish Responsibility. In late November 1988, a cartoon by Signe Wilkerson of the Capitol Building in Washington appeared on the editorial page of the Philadelphia Daily News. Beneath it, the caption read, Israeli Occupied Territory. Published on the eve of the first anniversary of the Intifada, it portrayed prophetically the most distant, most difficult obstacle that the Palestinians would face and which, without help from their American supporters, they would be unable to overcome, the Congress of the United States. It was a disturbing image, yet it accurately represented the degree to which Congress is enthralled to Israel's supporters in the United States, who, for both of the sake of simplicity and accuracy, it's not so accurate actually anymore, will hereafter be referred to as the Israel Lobby. 1988 was a year in which Palestinian resistance to Israeli occupation was reported with unprecedented sympathy by the mainstream U.S. media, and it was not uncommon to see cartoons of Israeli soldiers beating or shooting Palestinians with captions reading, "Your tax dollars at work." With but a handful of exceptions, too few in number to be meaningful, this attitude was not reflected in the halls of Congress, where those tax dollars were approved. The images of Israeli violence against Palestinian civilians on the nightly network news would prove no match for the demands of the occupiers, that the lawmakers on both sides of the aisle rise in Israel's defense. Now, on the wall over there are a number of cartoons that was from a booklet that was published by the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee of cartoons from at the time of the First Intifada, which are so incredible looking back today that you do not see that kind of... Those are mainstream cartoonists. Danziger, Oliphant, Conrad. You don't see that. Also, I should say, and that is because other elements besides AIPAC have emerged in that period of time and made sure the newspapers don't publish cartoons like that anymore. The lobby, to call this a lobby is a mistake. As a matter of fact, Congress is not lobbied at all by AIPAC. They don't have to. They're already, the members of Congress are in their pocket even before they get elected. The lobby is more like a hotel with 1,000 rooms, and maybe on 3 floors you have AIPAC, and most of those doors are locked. What is called the lobby represents perhaps 20-25% of the American Jewish community, what they call warm Jews. The rest might as well be Protestants, as far as the lobby, what they call the lobby, is concerned. Jeffrey Weisenfeld the other day, who was on the board of the City University of New York, who was responsible for getting Tony Kushner not to get an award from the City University, said in an interview with the Jewish Press, which is like an extreme right-wing Orthodox Jewish publication, "I'd like to get rid of 80% of the Jews," he said. "I'd like to get rid of 80%. So he was, that's about the 20% are hardcore Zionists. They're dedicated, educated, highly organized, and they're backed by more than 800,000 donors. If you're a politician, you can buy that list. It may be more now. It was 800,000 about a half a dozen years ago. It is characterized by a division of labor. AIPAC deals with Congress and on campus with students. There are 1,000 of them will be here among the 8,000 or 9,000 people attending this AIPAC conference in Washington. The American Jewish Committee, which really runs under the radar, is the foreign policy arm, the State Department, Israel lobby, and they're executive director, David Harris, is known all over the world. He's probably the most well-known Jewish activist, Zionist activist in the United States, known around the world. But he's not known among the movement. But the American Jewish Committee goes around the world meeting with government officials, lobbying them right now for a war in Iran and for sanctions on Iran and so on, and not to support the Palestinians. They have institutes in Brussels, in Latin America, and they have been working day and night to co-opt the Latin American community in the United States because it's an emerging voting pool. They on campus, they deal with the presidents and the deans, and so they have big ads in the New York Times with 300 presidents supporting Israel on this or this that matter. The Anti-Defamation League deals with anti-Semitism, perceived anti-Semitism. I mean, it's their business. If there was no anti-Semitism, be out of business. And so they look for it, you know, everywhere. I sued the Anti-Defamation League in 1993. They had a massive nationwide spying operation. And in San Francisco alone, Bay Area alone, they had files on 10,000 people, 600 progressive organizations, including Jewish organizations, environmental organizations, gay and lesbian organizations, Irish organizations, black organizations, and so on. And I was fortunate enough, and my co-founder of the Labor Committee, Steve Zeltzer, to get copies of our files on the day the judge closed the files up to be viewed by the public, and they've never been opened again, only because ABC wanted to interview somebody who had been spied on, and the district attorney's office gave Steve our files. We were able to get the files and sue them, and after 10 years, get a settlement without having to sign a confidentiality agreement. So I can talk about the case, and they won't come anywhere near me. There is another group called Stand With Us, and they're the ones who work with the college professors who are pro-Israel. So that's just breaking it down. In the media, you have camera and honest reporting that harasses editors and journalists and publishers for any kind of article that criticizes Israel. Then you have the Israel Project, which butters them up and takes them on trips, and has right now, you have 14 senators and 22 members of the House of Representatives are on their advisory board of a organization that openly lobbies for a foreign country. And their pictures are right up there, printed out this morning. Both AIPAC and ADL are in the intelligence gathering business. Spying on politicians is AIPAC's case, and everyone else is in the ADL's case, because information is power. And so there are situations where members of Congress apparently have been blackmailed to change positions. Tom Harkin may be one of them. I'll say it right here in Washington. Tom Harkin was very pro-Palestinian. One day, someone from the ADL and AIPAC came into his office. He sent his employees home. From that time on, he was pro-Israel. And not only that, they pushed him to run against Roger Jepson, who had been very pro-Israel, but not enough, and Harkin went into the Senate and has been one of the all-time recipients of PAC funds. What happened in the office that day, I tried to find out. So I called someone who was working for him, who's now a head of a big NGO in Washington, D.C. She would not talk to me about anything that went on when she worked for Harkin. How does AIPAC work? On a national level, it writes legislation. It writes the legislation, and it's not even a secret it writes the legislation. It writes letters. It writes letters for Congress to the president to get them to sign. And even with a popular president, Barack Obama, before he met the first time with Netanyahu, he gets two letters, both of them signed by three-quarters of the Senate, three-quarters of the House, signature. 76 senators urged president to follow key peace principles. What that means is don't lean on Netanyahu. The House letter, by accident, had the AIPAC on the PDF. Now, that was mentioned in a blog in the Washington Post. It was not mentioned in any other mainstream press, nor were the fact that these letters were even written. Whereas it used to be when letters were sent to the president by members of Congress that AIPAC had organized, they were published in the papers. They are no longer published in the papers. As a matter of fact, I did an article some years ago for a magazine called Lies of Our Times, which went out of business because it published articles about the Israel lobby by me, literally. And I researched and found out that in an 8-year period, there was not a single article in the New York Times about aid to Israel, mentioning aid to Israel. That's the media. And it's even worse, it's worse today. By the way, just the other day, the most recent letter was a letter from 29 members of the U.S. Senate, Democrats. That's more than half the Senate Democrats. President Obama telling him not to give money to the Palestine Authority if Hamas is still connected to them. And there they are. That's one page of the signatures. Okay, so you see, where are my, I think I buried something. Here we go. As Janet said, AIPAC guides donations to wealthy Jewish donors to let them know where they can send their money. And this is a violation of their 501c4. Now, it also sends members of Congress, this is very important, on all expense paid trips to Israel. Since 2009, 480 trips have taken place for members of Congress. And the leading recipient, the leading traveler, like to have his frequent flyer miles, is Steny Hoyer, the House Whip. He's made 17 trips that cost $142,426.02. Now, AIPAC did not send these, quote unquote. They were sent by something called the American Israel Education Foundation, which AIPAC founded in order to get around laws that now say lobbies cannot send congressmen on trips. And that's the AIPAC exception. So, but that's congressmen going. Now, I actually have to admit I joined AIPAC in 1988. And I still have this little folder here. Very important little folder. And I went to a local lunch that they had, the Fairmont Hotel. Now, and I was astounded because at this hotel, at this lunch, were supervisors, city council people, mayors, all the important public officials of the Bay Area were there to hear, I forget what senator was speaking, because what they do is they send senators from around the country, important, or governors, and to speak at AIPAC events. The press is not invited. These events are not covered, either in San Francisco or wherever the events take place, or in the home state of the senator. These are stealth meetings. But after the event, the local officials, who are all ambitious, they're very impressed. What happens afterward, local federations or Jewish federations, or hundreds around the country, or foundations, then send these public officials on paid trips to Israel with members of the Jewish community. And they come back and they know these officials, they have good friends in the local Jewish community. It is from these people that the new members of Congress emerge. Another source are the AIPAC students. The students who go to AIPAC conference who are placed in congressmen's offices as interns or spies. So that's another way. Now, what happens to the state attorneys general and the governors? Who sends them? The American Israel Friendship League, started by Hubert Humphrey and Nelson Rockefeller back in 1971. So all these public officials are going there. Now, there's a country south of our border called Mexico, which is really important for the United States. Economically, politically, every way, it's much more important. Nobody goes there. They never talk about Mexico unless it's guns on the border and drugs on the border. And that's an issue, that is an issue that needs to be worked on locally. People have to talk about, what about Mexico? Why are they going to Israel? Why aren't they going to Mexico? Mexico, without Mexican workers and Mexican-American workers, we wouldn't be eating today. And we also get oil from them. Okay. 10 minutes? Oh, boy. Okay, answer your question. They get people to run for Congress, like Dick Durbin from Illinois to run against Paul Finley for Congress. Because Paul Finley made a statement supporting the Palestinians. Paul Simon run against Charles Percy. This is not secret. They're public about this. They both of them said, Simon said, you're going to give me enough money, I'll run against him. They said this. Tom Harkin to run against Jepson. We had Cynthia McKinney was targeted. The Black Caucus has been totally put out of business. Today they're like a House Negro Caucus, because all the progressive black politicians who are ready to criticize Israel were run out, forced out one way or another. And the one left over, John Conyers, no longer opens his mouth. Maxine Waters supported McKinney, is not voting AIPAC's way. They had an ethics investigation against her. Fulbright, Dale Bumpers, was put in to run against Fulbright because Fulbright was criticizing that he said there. At that time, the AIPAC ran the U.S. Senate, the U.S. Congress. 2006 election, people voted against the war, right? The Israel lobby supported that war, and I've written articles about this being a war for Israel. Not exclusively for Israel, but it was pushed by the neocons who are part of the Israel lobby. But who was the biggest winner in that? It was a lobby. Nancy Pelosi gets in, and I have a whole bunch of quotes of Nancy Pelosi. She was my congresswoman. It's pledging her loyalty to Israel. And she appoints all these committee chairs to be committee chairs in charge of all the important committees, Middle East Committee, Foreign Affairs Committee, Appropriation, are all warm Jews. And then they have Charles and Schumer, who claims his name is Schumer, who said he's put in the Senate for Israel, and Rahm Emanuel, who quit his job to serve as a volunteer in the Israeli army back during the first Gulf War, they are made chairman, respectively, of the Senate Campaign Committee and the House Campaign Committee. So Emanuel's responsible for all the Blue Dog Democrats. He's the one who picked them. And right today, the head of the camp, and so they're the ones who go and select what candidates are going to get the money from the Democratic Party. The new chairman for the kind of Democrats today is a guy named Steve Rothman, who again is even more pro-Israel than Rahm Emanuel. Okay, coming down to the end here. There are a couple of things I want to talk about, action events, things that we did that were positive. One, in 1993, Middle East Peace Network in San Francisco Bay Area put out a big ad in BART that the size of one of these panels, actually bigger, which is there's a flyer which shows what it is on the board. There isn't a time we stopped. It had a lot of details, more details about aid to Israel than are on the current ads. And it has a It calls for a two-state solution, stop aid to Israel until it agrees to end the occupation. We put these up in the BART station, 16 of them, under $5,000 in total cost. The BART took them down, claiming there was graffiti. They had been vandalized. We didn't believe it. It wasn't true. We found one that had been taken down. It was pristine. We went to the ACLU. They got behind us. We not only got the ads put up, they had to pay for reprinting them with updated information. So we got another month. So this got major publicity in the Bay Area newspapers. I mean, the whole ad of the Oakland Tribune. So we pushed locally on that kind of thing. And in the BART station, people would stand and they'd read the content in the ad. You saw that. It was great. They didn't know what to do with it. Also, when our labor committee started in 1987, The Israeli Labor Federation History Institute had an office in a labor office in San Francisco. And every year, the San Francisco Labor Council would have an annual dinner honoring the Israeli Labor Federation History Institute, which, of course, discriminates against Palestinian workers. So we had a picket line, and they were having Willie Brown, the most important politician in California, the Speaker of the Assembly, was going to speak. So we had to, we wrote to him and saying, Willie, don't do it. What are you doing speaking for this racist history group that works with South Africa? They had a lot of trade with South Africa. There was an article in the Jerusalem Post, which had all the ties that the history group had with South Africa. And so we put this flyer out, and we went to a big labor rally, and the workers read this, and they say, what's Willie Brown doing? And then he replied, saying he was going to go to the labor event, the Labor Council dinner, and talk about the history group. We put another flyer out asking people to call his office and say, do you think he should go or not? His office told me they got millions of calls. Willie Brown and the Labor Council secretary went in the back door. Headline in the Oakland Tribune, Willie Brown, target of anti-apartheid protest. The upshot, Willie Brown joins the Jesse Jackson campaign, the most radical thing he had ever done. The History Institute closes its office, no more dinners. You can, working locally, you can embarrass politicians. If you live in the area of a liberal Democrat, you could contact me. I have quotes from members of Congress going back years that if the public saw these quotes, they would get angry. Because I have a radio program in Mendocino, California, and the few Zionists there try to get me off the air. And the ADL, they complain, but the ADL won't come near me because I'll talk about how their agent spied for South Africa against apartheid activists. So, but I talk to people, I talk about these issues, and people get angry. Ordinary Americans, this is not a Jewish-Arab issue in the United States of America. It's an issue for all Americans, and all Americans have a vested interest in fighting this. And this is, and you could do it locally. You can try and embarrass your local politician. You don't meet them and respect them and go and talk to them and try and persuade them because you do not have the checkbook that the other side has. But you can publicly embarrass them. Anyway, thank you very much. Yeah.